Now, when David came, verse 21, to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David. Now, identify a little bit as we go through here how this pertains to us as sinners. Some may follow closely, some may follow afar, but if they're the Lord's, they're the Lord's, and he keeps them. I'm glad to hear that, because we can get pretty cocky, you know. That used to be the thing you check one another on, was just how closely are you following the Lord? We used to ask that, you know. It just seems like maybe you're not quite following him as close as you should. I liken that to people in a marathon. They take off running for fair. And it's 10,000 meters, and there's a person way back there. And next thing you know, here's this person that's set off running with all their might, tongue hanging out, and pretty soon they're dragging, and here comes the pack, and pretty soon they just fade out of the picture. If it were determined on how fast we run and how hard we run, then there would be no victory. It doesn't matter. Here were these that were so faint that they could not follow David. And I believe that it was the Lord that made them faint. Who maketh thee to differ? The 400 that went on with David that seemed stronger versus these 200 that remained behind because they couldn't put one more foot in front of the other. And yet, what we're going to see is that they were David's all along. And the picture is they were Christ's all along. It doesn't matter. But there is a church that Christ has redeemed. And that church, wherever it is throughout the world, it's the Lord directing that church, those members, those that he has purchased with his blood. And so here Paul is writing in Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord. Now Caesar had taken him prisoner, but he says the prisoner of the Lord. That's important for us at all times to know and remember that whatever befalls us, it's the Lord. He says, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, if we say that we're called by grace, then we walk by grace. If we believe that we were justified in Christ and his death, then we live our lives according to that vocation, not looking to ourselves, within ourselves, comparing ourselves one with another, but to Christ alone as our justification, as our hope, as our all. But he says, believe the works, not only that they are true and real versus imaginary and delusionary, but for the sake of those works and what they testify. Verse 37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. In other words, if I'm found to be a liar based on those works, then don't believe me. But if I do, in accordance with the scriptures, then believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. This is fundamental, dear friends, to our knowing and believing the very gospel in which our hope rests concerning our eternity. And I would have you to consider it carefully. I know I can't take a person who's in blindness and make them see. That's God's work to do. But I just know that as the Lord gives us opportunity to sit here and consider these things today, I can't think of anything more vital. Know and believe that Christ is God. But what does that mean? Well, if he's God, that means worthy of all of our affection, attention, worship, praise, honor, hope, in salvation, not to look anywhere else, and to be so careful not to in any way diminish the glory that God the Father has purposed for his Son. And I'd rather be dead to the world and dead to men's calls to try to change the message to something else than to begin to preach anything else. I've been there, and the Lord, by his grace, has brought me out.